Hello and welcome to the Spiritual Hour Podcast. My name is Jeremiah Settle. This is Devin Singleton. And we want you to know if you want to get in contact with us, contact us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. And we are doing a recording of a bonus episode right now. We're generally just doing the episodes that you kind of see on YouTube and the main topic stuff.
Yeah, but I was in my general introduction to New Testament, Old Testament class for Online Academy of Biblical Studies yesterday, and we came across Judges chapter 11, verses 30 through 40, talking about the judge Jephthah.
Yeah, and I was sitting on my lawnmower, and he sent me this message, and I read it. Like, oh, that's okay.
This passage really spoke to me on a level not very many passages have. So I guess we'll start, and I'll go on and read these 10 verses.
Okay.
Yeah. Judges 11, 30 through 40. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed give me the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering." So Jephthah crossed over to the sons of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. He struck them with a very great slaughter from Aroer to the entrance of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel Karamim. So the sons of Ammon were subdued before the sons of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourines and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had no son or daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot take it back." So she said to him, "My father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me as you have said, since the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the sons of Ammon." She said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go to the mountains and weep because of my virginity, I and my companions." Then he said, "Go." So he sent her away for 2 months, and she left with her companions and wept on the mountains because of her virginity. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her according to the vow which he had made, and she had no relations with a man. Thus it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. So, I want to talk quickly about these verses before we get into the other discussion we have. Jephthah, a lot of people call this his irrational vow. I think my instructor yesterday called it a rash vow. I tend to ascribe more to it was a rash vow. And I say that because you think about this. You go home, you've probably got about two things that could come out of your house, an animal or a human. And that human is going to be your family. Mm-hmm. So why in the world did Jephthah think making this vow was a good idea?
I don't know. I'm assuming he probably thought it was going to be an animal of some sort.
He must have. I mean,
especially with the thought and idea of a sacrifice that's probably his thought.
Yeah, but even then, you know, you're coming back from battle. Your family, they don't know whether they're going to see you or not. Mm-hmm. And at this time, I would imagine they don't have cell phones, you know, or a way to contact without having to send a letter.
The rock phone.
But, you know, that's one thing. This vow is an absolutely ridiculous vow that Jephthah would make. And then regarding his daughter, when she's talking about her virginity, that's simply, she's just saying, "I never got an opportunity to be married, to have my own family." Mm-hmm. That's why she's going and grieving for her virginity, because she never got that chance to have that life.
Yeah, it's like that special privilege in life has now been taken from me.
Yeah, and that's important because she's not upset because she died with her virginity. She's upset because she didn't get to have that opportunity to have that family. But that, man, you gotta imagine. You have no idea. You're so happy your dad comes home. You're his only daughter, his only child. And you come out that house, you're excited to see your dad. And he rips his clothes and he tells you what he did. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how devastating that would be?
Yeah.
It causes me to tear up because of it. And she had the faith to say, well, you made this vow to God. You have to follow through because you made the vow.
And, you know, it's crazy because I think a lot of people in that situation be like, what? You did what? Yeah. And be like, that was dumb. Just, you know, carry on and go on with your life. But she didn't see it that way.
No, not at all. And that's what's so remarkable to me. And the faith she had to have to say, well, I really don't want this. But this vow, mm-hmm. you can't take your vow back to God. That in itself is a sin. And I think it's also important to note that God never supports the killing of humans.
No.
And that's not the point here. The point is Jephthah made a vow. We are required, when we make a vow to God, that is a requirement to keep. You better keep that vow.
Right. And I think, I know there's big discussions about this passage right here, because mm-hmm. it's, as we see, he went through with that. He went through with that sacrifice. And don't get me wrong, when we read the book of Judges, this is a time where there was no king, mm-hmm. as we were told, and people did what they thought was right in their own eyes.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of messed up stuff going on, mm-hmm. and that God would not, I guess you say, technically support. But that's not what we're trying to get at right here. This passage is just trying to show the importance of when you say to God that you are going to do something, you need to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a verse that comes to my mind. Mm-hmm. That's Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And actually, verses 1 through 5. It says, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they do evil. Verse 2, it says, do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So, I mean, the question is right here, was he hasty, you know, to say the things that he wanted to? Or was he rash with his mouth?
He was rash.
Yeah, and I think he had good intentions. Don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of us, when we have those points in times where we're super emotional and we want help, it's almost like we're willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. And God is like saying, okay, I'm gonna see if that's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. Verse 4 and 5. When you make a vow to God, it says, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Wow, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty straight and to the point. And this was written after the events of what Jephthah did.
Yeah.
So written by Solomon, who was the third king of the United Kingdom of Israel. But you got to think, he had to have known about what Jephthah did.
Oh, yeah. And who knows? Maybe writing this, that's what he was thinking of.
Maybe. Too. Maybe it could have been.
Or maybe thinking of some other point in Hebrew history, mm-hmm. that people have done this.
Yeah, and there ain't no dancing around the bush in those two verses.
No.
I mean, it's you make a vow and you will pay. So I kind of wanted to just, regarding the tongue, not Speaking about the making a vow in particular, but I think James chapter 5 talks about that. So I want to read from James chapter 5, and we will start. We'll start in verse 12. And it says, and I'm reading New American Standard. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. I mean, Jephthah said he was going to make this sacrifice of whatever came out of his house first. And he did it. He did as he said he would do. But
right.
He didn't think about that oath he was making to God.
You know, that's just so everyone knows, we don't have any notes right now.
Yeah.
We're just kind of speaking what's on our mind. And this had me thinking, James was saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Jesus said that.
Yeah.
And I think, and this is my brain, you know, ticking right here. I think this is saying, hey, this is, because we've been talking about the Godhead.
Yeah.
And when God says yes and God says no, I mean, that's straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And we're created in his image, and it almost needs to be the same way.
Yeah.
And we know that sometimes we may make promises and stuff, and sometimes we can't live up to those promises. But I think Scripture is trying to show we are to strive to try to be like our Creator, like mm-hmm. God. And if God says yes, well, and when we say yes, we need to try to
absolutely
live that out. And when God says no, and when we say no, we need to do our part and to try to live that out. And
yeah.
I bring that up because that's kind of talking about in Second Corinthians chapter 1. I'm trying to find the rest of the verse. It's talking about the confidence when God says something that he's going to do it. Verse 15. And in this confidence, I intend to come to you before that you might have a second benefit. Saying, you know, I had plans to try to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
To pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and to be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I planned, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be a yes, yes, and a no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes, no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. So what I'm trying to get at here is that we can say amen, that God is going to fulfill his promises compared to what men say. Like, hey,
yeah.
I'm gonna see you after services tonight. Well, something happens. I can't say that.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we should have confidence to say that when God says he's going to do something,
yeah,
he's going to do it. And as human beings, I know I'm kind of being repetitive right now, as human beings, we need to try to fulfill those promises, especially if we told God that we were going to do
absolutely
it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, man. And I will say this. I think if you repented of a sin that you've been struggling with and you make a vow to God, you say, God, I promise you I'm not going to do this sin anymore. Is that a smart vow? Maybe not.
I wouldn't think so.
However, that making that promise to God, if you know the promise you're making and you know what it means to make a promise to God, that should be able to help you in not committing that sin anymore. As long as you know what actions you take constitute that sin.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's a smart idea to make a promise? No. Is it allowed? Absolutely. You're allowed to make a vow to God. You better keep it.
Yeah.
So, I don't have anything else.
I don't have anything else. I think this is just some good points that people need to understand.
Absolutely. So, again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at armoredspiritually@gmail.com. You can also listen and watch our regular episodes on YouTube, listen to the bonus content on YouTube as well. Or you can just listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts. So until next time, catch you later.
Catch you later.